Thanks. That was pretty. I'm glad they did find the words. And really, what a great song of just communicating how we can have a relationship with God that is through Jesus Christ. And really, the whole thought process is that we are not born with a right relationship with God. We're actually born in our unrighteousness. And we need God's righteousness. We need God's goodness to be applied to our account. And for so many of us, for us to admit that, we need help. And God, well, He's done that. He's done that through the law. And that's the way that He catches us. He catches us in our unrighteousness, and He reveals our need for righteousness. I have a friend, and actually, it's a friend of mine and Pastor Chris's. And he went to the same Bible college that we attended in northern Wisconsin, and he actually went up to Iron Mountain, Michigan, and he was going to get some hockey equipment. And he got the hockey equipment. He came back down to the Bible college. On the way back to the college, he went through a little speed trap town. Now, I'm sure you don't have any speed trap towns here in Minnesota, right? And he came through this little speed trap town, and as he's coming down the hill, he sees an officer coming up the hill. So he's driving down, officer's coming up. What do you do when you see an officer driving the other way? What do you do? Oh, yeah, I thought so. Well, that's immediately what he does. He looks down the speedometer, and he sees that he's going about 15 miles over the speed limit. And as he's going down, he looks in the rearview mirror. He's going 15 miles over. He doesn't see the lights come on top, but the cruiser does put the brake lights on. And so he rounds the corner, and he floors it. He takes the first right-hand turn. He goes all the way down that street. I mean, he goes all the way down. He takes the last right-hand turn at the end of the street. And then he goes all the way down that street. And he pulls into the last house on the right-hand side of the street. And he just sits there. Can you imagine being in the car with him? I mean, a bead of sweat. Breath's kind of shallow. Heart's pounding. And he's thinking, I just ran from the law. You know what I mean? He's like, did that really just happen? And he's getting ready to put the keys back in the ignition. And he looks down the street, and here comes the police car. And my friend, he's thinking, what in the world? How do you know? And he looks at his watch, and it's 5 o'clock. It's time for people to go home. The policeman was going home. Jim parked at the policeman's house. And Jim gets out, and the policeman's like, what are you doing in my house? And Jim's like, I don't know. I mean, what the law did, the law caught Jim, right? What the law does is the law catches us. You see, we're not born with a relationship with God. The law is what God uses to show us, well, the law shows us we're not born in a right relationship with God. That's really the first real point that I want to make tonight. The law shows us we're not born with a right relationship with God. In fact, he says in Romans 3, verse 10, he says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understand. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. I don't have the righteousness that's needed to have a right relationship with God. It's easy to see other people's sin, isn't it? I mean, just a few shopping days, we're going to be spending way too much time in the mall. Is that not true? Come on, man, don't leave me hanging, you know. Yeah, you ever sat there in the food court and you're watching people and you're actually having a good time? Because you're watching people and maybe they're getting into a fuss over some shopping extravaganza, or they're getting upset about something they didn't want to get or they did get, and you're just watching. In fact, you can see other people's sin, can't you? You can see them argue with each other. You could maybe you've seen somebody steal something before. You've seen somebody tear down somebody. We can see other people's sin. What he does in this passage, he says their throat is like an open grave. Their tongues, they use them for deceit. A poisonous snake, it's under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And then to sum it up, this is what he says. There is no fear of God before their eyes. See, we do not have the righteousness that's needed to have a right relationship with God. As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. But it's not just like everyone else is bad. It's the real issue is that I'm bad.
The real issue is that we as individuals are bad. In fact, we're all guilty before God. This is what he said. For we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. How many of you have ever caught a child, maybe your own child, or maybe a child you're babysitting, or a nephew or niece? How many of you have ever caught a child doing something they should not do? Oh, yeah. I mean, I got five kids. What do you think I do for a living, right? I can remember we got a long fifth wheel, and I can remember looking down our fifth wheel, and I was watching one of my children. They had a wooden sword, and one of them had the wooden sword, and they were fighting. But then all of a sudden, the other child is there, and the one child brought the wooden sword down on this other child. Have you ever seen your children do something that you just couldn't even believe that they just did that? They're like, I did not teach them that. Did their mother teach them that? And I'm watching them slay their sibling, and I just can't believe it. And they're bringing back up the weapon for the mortal blow. And they turn, and they turn, and they see me, and they do the little shimmy. They're like, ooh, I just got caught. Do you know what the law does? It just catches all of us. The law, like, thou shalt not steal. Well, who here hasn't stole something? Thou shalt not lie. We've all lied before. Thou shalt not murder. But you say, well, I haven't done that one. But what Jesus says, he took that commandment and he got to the heart. He said, you're not to commit murder, but whosoever hates his brother without a cause, they're in the danger of really the same judgment. Or he took the one, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, whosoever shall look upon a woman and lust in his heart hath committed adultery already. You see, what the law does is it shows us that there's none righteous, but actually that we're all guilty before God. And do you understand what the wages are for our sin? The wages of sin is death. God in his holiness, God in his righteousness, he will not allow sinners to enter into the joy of the Lord. In fact, that's why the Bible communicates to us and tells us that the wages of sin is death. But then the Bible goes on in Revelation and says that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Do you understand that those of us that die without Jesus Christ's righteousness applied to our account, that we'll spend eternity separate from God for all of eternity? You know, I'm getting to the age where people in my life that I love with all my heart are beginning to pass away. It's an amazing concept. There's no sequel, is there, when it comes to this earthly life? You just don't stick in the DVD and watch the movie again. I mean, it's over. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. He says that really, if there is not the blood of Jesus Christ covering that sinner's account, then that sinner is separate from God for all eternity. And so what the law does, it says that all men are sinners, but we specifically, all people specifically, are guilty before God. But what the law does is it helps communicate in such a way, it says, keeping the law, it never covers our sin. You see, some of us, we look at the laws, it shows us our sins. So in our mind, we begin to think, well, if I could turn it around and somehow if I could keep the law, then somehow then God would like me. If the law shows that I'm a sinner, if I can stop breaking the law, then maybe I won't be a sinner. But do you know what this Bible says? This text, what we're reading from right now, it says this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no person will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That word justifies, it means covers. You see, I can't cover up my sin by doing a bunch of good things. You ever messed up before? You ever hurt somebody with your words? You ever hurt your spouse with words, sir, and so you ran to the store and bought a bunch of flowers? She just stared and looked at you. Because no set of roses was going to cover up the sin or the words or the actions or the forgetfulness or whatever it was. And he says, by the deeds of law shall no person be covered. Their sin will not be covered by good behavior, because the law cannot save. It only reveals our sin. Have you ever thought why that we think that religion saves or keeping the law will save? You ever thought about how much we want to try to save ourselves? It's because ultimately, if I can do more good things than bad things, then who's my savior? That's exactly it. If I can do more good things than bad things, then I can dictate which bad things I do. I can choose to do this bad thing on Monday and this one on Tuesday and this one on Wednesday and this one on Thursday and Friday. But as long as I don't do too many and I can hurry up and get to church on Sunday or whatever day you attend a church service, and I can get there and I can get this done, and then I can get some religion and get some more righteousness, and then I can go do what I want to do. It was so sweet. I was in Pennsylvania. We all were last fall. And as I was speaking, this lady came up to me and she said, "Will, I just can't understand." This was Sunday night. She goes, "I just can't understand what you're saying. You're saying it's salvation through grace alone." I said, "Well, actually, it's not me who's saying that. That's what God says. He says, 'For by grace you save through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.'" I said, "It's not really what I'm saying. It's what God says, that it's his gift alone." And she said, "Will, that's just so hard for me to understand, because, Will, I've just always thought that my good behavior needs to outweigh my bad behavior." You ever heard that before? "I need to do more good things than bad things." I said, "Ma'am, I can understand that, because that makes earthly sense, doesn't it? That makes a rational sense, that somehow I've got to tip the scales in my favor, but it doesn't make eternal sense." And as we began to look at more scripture, she came back the next night and she said, "Will, so you're saying it's grace through faith alone?" I said, "Yeah, grace through faith alone." She goes, "I don't get it." She came back Tuesday night and she came up to me and she walked up to me and we were talking about another passage of scripture. And she says, "I get it. It's a gift of God, isn't it? It's a gift of God. It's not through my own works." I said, "Exactly." She goes, "I get it." You know what that is? That's the Lord at work. Because in our own self, we want to save ourselves, don't we? But for us to understand that our sins are so bad and our righteousness will never cover up our good deeds, will never cover up our sinful needs. But for us to actually understand that we need Christ, it's God working in our heart. And I believe that God is at work in some of our hearts tonight. I think some of us are beginning to understand that I'm not made right with God because of my good behavior. I'm made right with God. Well, it's the next point. We can only have a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let me just repeat the first point. The first one was, we are not born with a right relationship with God. The second point and the final point is this. We can only have a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. In one word, it's the word believe. In fact, in verse 22, this is what he says. He says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe." Can I read that again? "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." Well, believe what? Well, believe that my sin keeps me from having a right relationship with God. It's really one thing to know these things. I mean, we're all pretty intelligent people. And so you start to talk to people and we're like, "Yeah, of course I've sinned. Of course I did that. I did break the law. Yeah, I did that." But do you understand that believing is not just mentally understanding? It's really admitting it. It's actually submitting to God, that when God says that sin, then I agree with you, God. And I do believe that my sin keeps me from having a right relationship with God. In fact, the next verse after the one that told us to believe it, he says this: "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, we know that biblically. I mean, the Bible says that. But practically, we don't like to admit it. But do you know who God saves? God saves sinners. I had a friend of mine. He called me up. He said, "Hey, Will, I got another friend. He's got a son who's been a lot of problems, a lot of trouble. Is there any way you can talk to him?" And I said, "Well, sure." He said, "Well, are you a member of the clergy?" And I said, "Well, I am an ordained minister. I'm not normally called that, but yeah, I'm an ordained minister." And he said, "Well, great, that'll do." I said, "Now, before he comes over, do you mind if I talk to him about Jesus?" He goes, "Well, that's why I want you to talk to him." I said, "Okay." So he comes over, and this boy, his name was Chris, and he just started to talk to me. And he was actually going through Narcotics Anonymous, and he had to do something. He had to talk to somebody that was an ordained minister and had to just talk to him about all the bad things that he's ever done. And so I didn't know that's what was going to happen, but we sat down, and for an hour and a half, this guy, he just walked through his life. I mean, he's like, when I was four, I did this, and when I was five, this, and then we snuck out here, and we hit this person, and then we stole this, and then we drank this, and then we did this, and then we went over here and did this and this, and I'm just kind of listening to all this. I mean, he's just got this whole big old list of sins, and I mean, he's just, you know, he's just kind of getting it off his chest, and he gets done, he goes, "So, what do you think?" I said, "Well," I said, "are you a sinner?" He's like, "Well, what do you think I was just telling you?" I said, "Do you want God to forgive you of your sin?" And he said, "You mean God would forgive somebody like me?" Can I tell you something? God loves forgiving people like that. You see, the Pharisee doesn't get saved, but the publican does. God loves pouring out mercy on the weak. He loves pouring out his mercy on the sinner, because where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. Do you know why that's possible? It's because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came to this earth and he died, but he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. Do you understand that death is a consequence of sin? And when Jesus Christ conquered death, he conquered sin. And Jesus Christ's power is far greater than any of our own self-righteousness, because who here has ever tried to do better? Who here has ever said, "I will never say that again"? Who here has ever said, "You know what I'm going to try to do? I will never, ever, ever, ever." And what did you do 3 weeks later? You did it. You know your righteousness isn't enough. You know your righteousness cannot cover, but Jesus Christ can. He can forgive us. He can change us. Because Jesus is greater than sin, and he's greater than the consequences of sin, which is death. You see, believe what? Believe that my sin keeps me from having a right relationship with God, and believe that my sin can only be removed through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And what he does right from Romans chapter 3 is he gives us two word pictures to help us to understand. And the first one is a monetary one. He paid a debt he did not owe. He paid a debt he didn't owe. You see, I owed a debt I cannot pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And so listen to this. Remember, by the deeds of the law shall no person be justified. By the deeds of the law, no person's going to have their sins covered. But listen to this. Being justified, or having your sins covered freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, it's like we went around and we had a charge card, and we're just charging up sin after sin after sin after sin, and we're thinking sin, and we're doing sin, and we're speaking sin, and we're looking at the bill, and it's far bigger than we can ever pay. And so we take out another card. And we charge, and we transfer, and we charge, and we charge. And now I've got two bills, and then there's another bill, and another bill. And finally, someday, we wake up to the fact that my bills are so great, I will never, ever be able to pay for them. And then in walks somebody who did not charge up these accounts, somebody who did not sin like we sinned, and this someone is Jesus. Your sins are so great, you could never pay for them. But Jesus Christ paid a debt he did not owe. And he paid the price for sin by dying on the cross. Remember what I said earlier? The wages of sin is. And Jesus stretched out his arms and he took the nails. And he shed his blood and he died. I have a debt I cannot pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And the other word picture is, well, let me just read you the verse. He says, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the forgiveness of sins that are past. That word propitiation, do you know what it means? It means this, that Jesus, he didn't just pay for something he did not owe. He actually took
God's wrath. Sin displeases God, and all sinners must taste of God's judgment. And so Jesus Christ got on the cross, and as the acid of God's judgment was pouring from heaven, Jesus took our place. Jesus took the wrath of God. He absorbed it. It would be like pouring a bucket of water onto a sponge that could absorb everything. And as it takes it all in, you see Jesus Christ, because he was God, was able to absorb the wrath of God. And it's not just that he absorbed it, he removes it. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is so great that it takes God's wrath, but it also takes our sin away. You're no longer held in account for that sin, because he says there is now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And so now those sins, they're paid for. And so you can look and you can see and you can walk with God and you can be rest assured that one day you will enjoy God. Your sins have been paid for. Not because of some frantic running around of my own activity, hoping that I do enough and think enough and have enough Godward thoughts, and eventually maybe God will accept me. That's what religion is. And that's what people do week in, week out, and they pay their tithes and they do their dues and they make sure they get this done and they do this and they go over here. But all of our works is nothing but, as the Bible calls them, filthy rags. But Jesus Christ, he is enough. And Jesus Christ died so that we don't have to. So then how do I believe? If I need to believe that my sin demands the just judgment of God, if I believe that Jesus died for me, how is it then I believe? Then forsake your own works and call on the name of the Lord. Turn from your own self-effort. Turn from your sin of unbelief and trust in Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's not that complex. It's just really surrendering and submitting yourself to God. I was speaking in, well, this was last fall. We were up in New England and we were doing something like this. It was just men. We had a big steak out and it was actually quite enjoyable. And they were cooking up steaks and we're just having fun. Team did some music and stuff. And there was a guy that was sitting right up here, and his wife had came to an understanding of how that she could be saved through Jesus Christ alone just a couple months before. And this man, he was a lawyer, and he was what he called himself. He said, I'm an agnostic. I believe that there's something of a God. I just don't really want to submit to him. I don't really want to live life in submission to whoever created this. There's probably a God, but I just don't want to believe in it. But he loved the fellowship with the men. He loved the effects of Christianity. He just didn't want to submit to God. And so he came to stake out, and he wasn't an unkind man. He just knew what he thought he believed, and he just kind of would come. And I met him a number of times throughout the course of the week, and he was sitting right about here. And I was preaching through, and I either must have been preaching something close to this or another message where I said that phrase. The phrase that I said tonight, I have a debt that I cannot pay, and Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. And I said that phrase in connection to the text. And all of a sudden, this man, he looked at me. And he just started nodding his head. I went up to him after the service. I said, well, what's going on? You were thinking. He goes, well, I'm a lawyer. I do litigation for bankruptcies. I do litigation for mortgages gone bad. I'm involved in a lot of big financial things. And, you know, for some reason, when you said that phrase and you were talking about my sin and I deserve death and Jesus never sinned and he died for me, it all of a sudden made sense. I have a debt I can't pay, and he paid a debt I did not owe. And he said, right then, I just asked God to save me. And you know what? It's not that complex. In fact, I think God's at work in some of your hearts right now. You know you're a sinner. You know you've messed up. You know you've offended God.
And in your heart, you believe in, yeah, I do believe Jesus is the Son of God. I do believe he died on the cross. I do. Then why don't you, in your heart, call on the name of the Lord? Turn from your own effort and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. Let's just bow our heads together. I want to give anyone here the opportunity just to cry out and ask the Lord to be your own personal Savior tonight. It could be that you're sitting here and in your heart you do believe what was just spoken. And God is at work in your heart and he is convicting you of your sin and your need for Christ. Why don't you right now just call on the name of the Lord? Why don't you just call out right now asking him to be your own Lord and Savior? Could be you're saying, well, I'm not sure what to say. Well, why don't you let me give you a sample type of a prayer that you would take and turn it into your own words? Because this is not just a religious experience. This is you yourself coming to the Lord, turning from your sin and trusting Christ. So it could be that you truly do want to ask Christ to be your Savior. Why don't you right now say something like, why don't you say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Why don't you tell him, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for me and you rose again from the dead. I turn from my sin. I trust in you alone to save me. Why don't you just keep talking to the Lord right now? Why don't you just cry out to him and from your heart, I'm a sinner. I need you. Save me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Who'd say, Will, I did just ask the Lord to save me. I meant that. I did ask the Lord to save me. And I'm just so thankful the Lord did a work in my heart. I did ask the Lord to forgive me of my sin. And I believe he saved me. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, Will, I did just ask the Lord to do a work in my heart. Would you just lift your hand so I can see it? I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to rejoice with you. Okay. Are there others? Well, I'm just rejoicing. I think I saw about 3 folks lift their hand. Is there anybody else say, well, I did ask the Lord to save me? Yeah. Okay. It's about 4. I'm just trying to look carefully. If you know, you did, ma'am? Okay. God bless you, ma'am. Wow. Okay. There's about 5 folks that lift their hand. You know, if this is another place, another setting, and we'd all start cheering because it's so wonderful to think of people going from death to life. Anybody else say, well, I didn't ask the Lord to save me, but I'd sure like you to pray for me because I'm really thinking about what you just talked about. Anyone like that, you'd say, well, I didn't pray. I didn't ask the Lord to save me, but I'm thinking about it. And I'd sure like you to maybe close in prayer for me. Anyone like that, I'm just going to look real carefully. Say, well, I didn't ask the Lord to save me, but I'd like you to pray for me in closing. Any like that?